We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
To know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Los Angeles to Las Vegas, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How is everybody doing out there? What a show we have for you this morning. Obviously, a ton on last night's ridiculous, absurd, crazy, stupefying Monday night football game. A game that featured 105 points. We will delve into, we will break down, we will dig. Rams 54-51 winners in what appeared to be the craziest game of the NFL season. How do we top that? It lived up to the hype, huh? So a lot of that coming up this morning on the show. We'll talk to Bob Glauber, NFL columnist. He's also written a book called Guts and Genius about how Parcells, Walsh, and Gibbs changed NFL coaching forever and how we're still seeing the effects of that in a game like last night with offense like last night. So Bob's going to join us coming up in hour number two of the program. We'll talk about the college football playoff as new rankings will come out tonight with Houston Nutt of CBS Sports Network. He'll join us hour number two as well. It's also a Trash Tuesday, so get your trashes in by sending us who or what you will be trashing today via Twitter, DA on CBS. Also, you can call us at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We begin last night. 54-51. Somehow, riddle me this, Batman. Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs scored 51 points and lost. They scored 51 points and turned the football over five times. They scored 51 points and punted three times. Let that sink in for a second, okay? Let this sink in. If I told you going into last night's game, the Chiefs would score 51 points and lose, what would you say? If I told you the team that lost scored 51 points and punted three times, what would you think? If I told you going into last night's game, the Chiefs are going to have five turnovers, three picks and two fumbles, and still score 51. Mind blown. The Kansas City Chiefs had seven scoring possessions, seven scoring drives, eight actually, seven touchdown drives. They had seven drives that ended in touchdowns, one that ended in a field goal, five turnovers, and three punts. They had 16 possessions last night A normal football game has 8 to 10. The math last night didn't work. How does it happen? No team turned the football over 5 times and scores 51 points. Bing, bang, bing, bang. Each coach, each quarterback, each offense answering time and time and time again. The question is, if these are two of the best teams in football, or perhaps the two best teams in football, and all of the rules are slanted toward the offense, and these are two of the great young quarterbacks in the league, and perhaps these are two of the next great teams of the next 10 years, are we seeing the future before our very eyes? The question that you take away from last night is, was Rams-Chiefs the new NFL? It's where we begin. Your cold open.
First down and 10 from the Kansas City 40. He fires right sideline. Gerald Everett caught him in the shoulder at the 10. Oh. Tiptoes the sideline. Touchdown, L.A. With 1:49 to go, a 40-yard strike from Goff to Everett, and the Rams are back on the high side.
I thought our guys did an outstanding job together tonight, just sticking together, staying connected, not letting the circumstances dictate the way that we responded, and finding a way to get a big win, and it'll certainly make our bye a little bit more enjoyable, and then we'll come back ready to go for the last stretch of the season.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Rams radio on the call. Sean McVay after the win. Rams move to 10-1. Chiefs fall to 9-2. Patrick Mahomes in a loss threw for 478 yards and 6 touchdowns. Jared Goff in the win, 413 yards and 4 touchdowns. Crucial number. Mahomes had those 3 interceptions, including a pick six and strip sacked a number of times. Goff had no interceptions on the day. Was this the NFL future? Did we just see the new NFL? My answer is no. Last night was not indicative of the new NFL because you had a very particular set of circumstances, a very particular set of skills. And that is, you had two of the greatest offensive minds, I would argue the two greatest offensive minds in the NFL, going at it last night with questionable defense, and you just won't have any other teams outside of the Saints that can match you blow for blow like that with that type of play calling. I know that Pittsburgh has weapons, and I know that Pittsburgh can put up points, but we also know that Pittsburgh's offense can go into a lull. We have seen the Steelers' offense take naps throughout the NFL season. What you witnessed last night was the very best of the very best, with the best two offensive play callers in the NFL duking it out with their quarterbacks in their prime in perfect weather conditions and not a lot of defense being played. I don't think any other teams outside of Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints could go toe for toe, blow for blow, throw for throw like that. Every time the Rams scored, you just felt like, well, look out because here comes the Chiefs. And every time the Chiefs scored, you said they left too much time for the Rams. And then every time the Rams scored, you said they left too much time for the Chiefs. You just don't get that with anybody else except the Saints. Those three teams, I don't think, are indicative of the quote-unquote new NFL because nobody else can do what was done last night. Now, if these two teams meet again, that will happen again. If either one of those two teams interchange with the Saints, that will happen again. But that's the 3 out of the 30. There's nobody else that can do it. And what you saw last night was just brilliant offensive scheming and next level quarterbacking with otherworldly weapons all coming together. And by the way, aren't you happy that game was not in Mexico City? No offense to the country of Mexico, but that was a Super Bowl-esque shootout that should never have been played or outsourced to a soccer stadium that doesn't have the same technology we do here in the States to be played on slipshod grass and turf on a neutral site. That should have never been outsourced that way. Thank goodness the turf was in such disrepair that they had to move it. Because that, what we witnessed last night, should have never been compromised on a crummy turf in a stadium in a different country at altitude where they're playing soccer twice a week. But I don't think that last night was indicative of the new NFL, because you just can't do that with every team. That was breathtaking. At times it was maddening. At times I just wanted to see one stop, one punt, one defensive stand. But when it was all said and done, it was basically last man standing. And you just feel as though if the Chiefs had a little bit more time, they would have won with that last possession. They just ran out of time, and Mahomes had to take a bad shot downfield that got deflected at the line of scrimmage because he was hit and ultimately intercepted. So much to get into from last night. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Think about how many moments were potential altering moments last night. I mean, Orlando Scandrick had the win in his hands for the Chiefs. And the Chiefs led that final Rams drive, and ball just out of his hands. If Scandrick pulls in that INT, Chiefs win. On the flip side, Tyreek Hill fielding that kick at his own one, basically carrying him into the end zone. What are you doing? Do not field that. Do not field that punt. Let that bounce into the end zone, because it comes out to the 20 and you save that time. He did that twice last night. Let it bounce into the end zone, you boob. Mahomes could have started at his 20 with 11 extra seconds on the final drive, and instead Tyreek Hill's trying to play hero. And it's hard to criticize Tyreek Hill, because last night all he did was catch 10 passes for 215 yards and two touchdowns, but you cannot, should not do that. And Sean McVay nearly got lanced last night for being too aggressive on that final drive, getting cute, and throwing instead of running the football, keeping the clock moving. It allows the Chiefs, with a minute plus and a timeout, to get the ball back. However, I will actually defend McVay there, because McVay is doing that simply out of fear of the opposing quarterback, and I have to respect that. Mahomes was so dangerous and so good last night, McVay essentially said, I can't give him the football back. Now, they did and escaped with the win, but that was the decision there. I don't think it was arrogance. I don't think it was sloppiness. I think it was, we can't give the football back to that guy. He's going down our throats and ripping him out. Which, again, I respect. What a crazy, kooky game. Again, if I told you before the game the Chiefs would have five turnovers, you would say, well, they'll get blown out. If I said they had five turnovers, they gave up two defensive touchdowns and punted three times, you'd be like, well, the Chiefs then scored like 10 points. They scored 51 and lost and turned it over five times and punted three times. That was one of the most bizarre, crazy, kooky, exciting, stupefying NFL games ever. 855-212-4CBS. Your takes, your thoughts, your opinions, your questions, your concerns from last night's game. 855-212-4227. When we come back, big MLB trade. Hot stove last night. The Yankees go out, and do they get the solution to their pitching woes? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Fun with audio.
The longer you play, the more obvious the better team is going to have a chance at beating.
That's okay? Cocky pop.
As soon as you use the word cocky pop, this discussion is over, because it's poppycock.
Ah, my bad.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, Mraz yesterday created the word cocky pop. Not a thing. 22 minutes past the hour. Happy Trash Tuesday to you, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Get your trashes in on Twitter, DA on CBS, or dial us up at 855-212-4CBS. Trash Tuesday coming up at 40 minutes past the hour for us. We'll read them throughout the morning. Also, watch the proceedings at watchda.com.
That's okay. Cocky Pop.
Cocky Pop. That sounds like a brand new breakfast cereal.
Oh.
Boys and girls, wake up with a fresh bowl of Cocky Pops.
That's okay. Cocky Pop. Ah.
In all your favorite flavors. Blueberry, strawberry, watermelon. It's Cocky Pops.
That's okay. Cocky Pop.
So, last night, watching what we watched. Mraz, who would you take for the next 10 years as your quarterback? Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff.
Patrick Mahomes.
Me too.
Oh boy, is he special.
We were reveling in the throw he made to Tyreek Hill in the 73-yard touchdown, the broken coverage by the Rams. But it's not only a 73-yard bomb. Pat Mahomes is 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He winds up, he spots Hill open, breaking free, and throws an absolute laser into Tyreek Hill's arms on the fly, on the run, in stride for a 73-yard touchdown. Now, note, Hill is by far the fastest player in the NFL. There is not another quarterback in the league that makes that throw like that. Every other quarterback in the league, Hill is coming back for the pass. There's just no way to be able to overthrow Tyreek Hill. Nor should there be a way to hit him in stride from 65 yards away, and he did it on a dime, on a rope, in stride. I sat there and said, it's not breaking free from the coverage that is so incredible here. It is that Patrick Mahomes has an arm that can hit the fastest guy in the NFL in stride, 65 yards away. Do you know how quickly you have to get that ball out, how far you have to throw it, how much spin and zip you have to have on the throw, and the accuracy? I mean, it's just stupid. Goff was phenomenal last night. And one thing I like about Jared Goff is he's so monotone. He is so understated. And I think that really helps, because he's not going to be one seemingly to get overdone by the celebrity of Los Angeles or the hype if you get him in big games, if you get him in Super Bowls. I don't think Jared Goff is the type of guy that starts reading his press clippings and playing outside of his ability. I think he's really calm and cool and collected, and I like that. And all those throws he made, especially late in the game, give him a ton of credit for. It was perfect. But Mahomes just does things that we don't see. And he had turnovers last night. He threw three interceptions. He was strip sacked multiple times by Aaron Donald. He gave up points. There's a lot there that Patrick Mahomes can get better from. And I think that they will. I think that the Chiefs will only get better from this. But Pat Mahomes is down by two touchdowns, basically, to one of the best teams in football on the road on Monday night, and he's smiling. He gets hit, pushed out of bounds, smiling. Every moment just seemed like he is having a world of fun. And I hate it, if I'm a Chiefs fan, watching him try to take down a defensive lineman in the end zone after a turnover. Like, Peyton Manning and Brady and Breeze have learned this a long time ago. Get out of the way. You gave up the touchdown. You gave up the turnover. Just get out of the way. Do not get hurt. He's got a defensive lineman landing on him in the end zone. Hell, I thought Roger Goodell was going to press a button. Flag on the play. Flag on the play. That Rams player can't land on top of Mahomes. Ref's going, yeah, but he was the ball carrier. Mahomes was trying to make the tackle. Can't do it. But how many times last night, Mraz, did you just say, how did Mahomes do that? How did Mahomes throw that? How did Mahomes get that there?
I'm telling you, in a game where it was so much fireworks and everything was about the coaching and the players, Patrick Mahomes was the reason to sit down on your couch last night. That one throw that you were describing, I am convinced when you put me in the box and wheel me down on the ground, that would be one of the top 10 throws I've ever seen in my life in any sport. I'm talking about baseball, outfield, football, anything. That was unlike anything I've ever seen before. Unbelievable seeds. I am so pumped for the next decade of Chiefs football. It's almost worth, if you live out of market, getting the NFL Sunday ticket just to watch Patrick Mahomes play. That's how good he is.
Because every week has been like that. Now, he hasn't put up nearly 500 yards of passing and 6 touchdowns every week.
But it's the angles, too, D.A. Not everything is over. He could throw it sidearmed. He could throw it underhanded. His arm zip at all these funny angles. We've never seen a quarterback like that. It's incredible.
You just see that baseball background and how unique that is. When he is rolling left against his body and throwing a dart almost sidearmed, it's very much like a shortstop making a throw over to first base in the hole. He, from all angles, no matter where his body is contorted, no matter where his shoulders are, no matter where his footwork is putting unbelievable zip on a football, and he can do it sidearmed, overarmed, overhand, over the shoulder, moving, stationary, no matter what. There was a throw that he made that actually was incomplete last night where he just took it and basically sidearmed it over to the sideline. It ended up being incomplete. I said, nobody else in football can make that throw from that angle. And it was an incomplete pass. And I said, that's as pretty an incomplete pass as you can have, because he throws a football like a baseball. You just think about going into a hole and whipping that across the diamond. That's how he throws a football. It is otherworldly. Now, he can't have those turnovers. I mean, he turned the football over way too many times. He held on to it far too long. Donald is a beast. And so, you know, that's a couple of defensive touchdowns that Mahomes can prevent. But when all is said and done, I think Mahomes is better for a night like last night. And if we get Mahomes versus Goff once a year for the rest of their careers, it wouldn't be enough. Those two guys are amazing. Last night also, we had a trade come down as the New York Yankees end up making a deal with the Seattle Mariners to get their ace, James Paxton. Now, what do the Yankees have to give up? The Yankees ended up giving up their number one prospect, Justice Sheffield, which to me feels a little high, considering that James Paxton is already 30 years old, and last year was a wonderful year, and he was the biggest reason the Mariners were in the postseason race. But honestly, I'm not guessing, I'm not betting that James Paxton's going to do that many more times in his Major League Baseball career. Now, for the Yankees, if they're trying to save money for Bryce Harper or Manny Machado or Patrick Corbin or a number of other guys that they're supposedly looking at signing, then this makes sense, because you have a cheap deal for help in your rotation for the next couple of years. You don't have to spend all that money. Here's where you save a little bit of money. So I get it from a financial standpoint. I just would not have given up my number one prospect, Justice Sheffield, along with a couple of other minor leaguers, for James Paxton, because I just don't think that Paxton is going to end up doing that again. I loved what his season was. I loved what he brought to the table last year for the Mariners. And I hate that Mariners fans have not seen a postseason in forever, longest North American drought out of the 4 oldest sports leagues. And I hate that already they've got to wave the white flag and trade him away. But I'm sorry, Mraz, I think this is too much to give up for James Paxton, especially if you think he's the solution to your rotation.
All right, I'm going to be transparent and a pig at the same time. Transparency number one, it is impossible to walk away from this trade from a Yankee point of view and say you love it, because James Paxton's never healthy. However, if we just acquired a number three starter, you know the Yankees aren't done. And look how much money they just saved. They're going to get either a Corbin, who knows, maybe we load up and get Kluber, and then it's Machado, Harper, Daniel Murphy, two of the three. So this is the first of what should be a Mount Rushmore of heads we add to this Yankee locker room. But I agree with you. Seems a little bit much to give up. They obviously weren't high on Sheffield. He probably should have headlined a Kluber deal, giving him back to Cleveland. But we'll find another way to get Kluber, and then we'll figure this thing out.
You gave away your number one prospect. You don't have another number one prospect to give away for Kluber.
Estevan Florial. Let's go.
and we. It's happened before. I don't know why I caught my ears so much there, but we'll get Kluber. We're
a lot of
weight. Add.
A lot
we
of weight.
We did this.
A lot of weight.
We, yes, we as the Yankees. Right. I am a part of this organization.
Mm.
I work for the Yankees Radio Network.
Paxton is 30 years old. He was 11-6 last year. The year before that, 12-5. Last year's ERA, 3.76. Actually, 2017, a better ERA, sub-3. But the idea that James Paxton, the Big Maple.
I hate that nickname, too. I hate it.
Now you're going to have to go get yourself a Big Maple jersey for Christmas.
Look, there's no doubt I'm going to get a Paxton jersey, but the nickname stinks. Big Maple. Because you got a maple leaf on your, in your flag? That's why you're the Big Maple? Or is this about syrup? I can't figure that out.
What would be better?
Obviously syrup, because it shows me the guy likes pancakes.
Uh-huh.
But I'm assuming it's because of the Canadian flag. It just seems like a very lame nickname. How about the Big Bacon?
You like that better?
Yeah. I would be more scared October I step in the box and I'm facing the Big Bacon as opposed to the Big Maple.
Not circular bacon, though. That's not real bacon.
Oh,
you don't want that nickname based on that.
It's excellent bacon.
Mm.
The Big Mountie.
American bacon wins.
Thick bacon?
In a blowout.
Applewood smoked thick cut?
Yeah, not round cut Canadian bacon. It's good, but it's not bacon.
It's fine.
I prefer a Canadian bacon, if done
you
right.
You would.
Wow.
If done right, yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
I do. I really love Canadian bacon. Got to be done right, and not too many people do it right. But when done right.
What's done right? What's the proper way?
It's still, my issue. Can't be too floppy. And too many people rush the Canadian bacon prospect.
Wow.
I don't want floppy bacon flopping around.
That's what she said.
Okay. Puffiness with sodium.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We don't like it floppy around here, so when we come back, strong Trash Tuesday takes, firm Trash Tuesday takes. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
All right, DA.
Hey, DA.
Jamming hard on it, DA. I don't know if you'll go bonkers or crazy, DA.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Funky sounds on a Trash Tuesday, my brothers. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can always listen to us on your phone. Use the CBS Sports app, use the radio.com app, use Apple Music, or watch the show at watchda.com. That's all available on your phone, that little thing in your pocket.
Electronically ignorant.
It's a Trash Tuesday, so let us know who or what you're trashing at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Stanley tweets, DA, every time you say nobody else has the arm to make that throw, Josh Allen shakes his head. Hashtag Mahomes. Oh, no. God.
That'll be in the laugh montage.
Awesome.
Let's not put Josh Allen in any conversation with Patrick Mahomes. Cameron tweets, every box of Cocky Pops comes with a free Mraz figurine. Collect them all to combine them into a Taz-crushing potato Terminator.
That's Cocky Pop.
You'll love them. Sugar-covered Cocky Pops. While supplies last.
That's okay. Cocky Pop.
It's time for Trash Tuesday.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I gotta trash this recent, in the last couple years, new trend of something called Friendsgiving. Stop it. There's no such thing as Friendsgiving. You're having a potluck with your buddies that happens to be around November, so you're calling it Friendsgiving to make it a cool pun on words because it's near Thanksgiving. You spend Thanksgiving, whatever with friends and family you want on that Thursday. Anything after that is simply called dinner. It's like these people that go to brunch at 2 in the afternoon. Just because you gather for a potluck meal with friends or whoever during the month of November doesn't mean it's Friendsgiving. It's just dinner. Stop saying you're having a Friendsgiving.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Although I feel like you would love to be invited to a few Friendsgivings.
I have been. I turned down two this year.
Wow, you're
two.
A big shot.
No, it's not because I'm a
you're
big
like
shot.
Peter Schwartz.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
Peter Schwartz is a bigger shot than me. It's because I don't believe in Friendsgiving. I just don't believe in it.
You turned it down because you don't believe in
it's
Friendsgiving?
It's not a principle. I refuse to go to anybody who invites me to brunch past 11 a.m. Because at that point, we're entering lunch territory.
Okay, but
there are
a few
food principles I have to stand on, and this is one.
Why can't you just eat lunch at noon if they call it brunch?
Stop calling it brunch, then. If it's noon, it's lunch. Just stop saying brunch.
Okay, so if your friends invited you over to dinner this week, you would go. But as long as they label it Friendsgiving, you're not going.
Right. If you say you want to just come over, having dinner, or we're having leftovers, or we're just going to have a potluck, sure. The moment you label it Friendsgiving, I'm out. It's stupid.
I'm sorry. I have a brunch follow-up. When is the brunch window, then, if post 12 is lunch?
Post 11.
I should have spot. It's post 12. It's between 10:30 and noon.
Why is that not just breakfast anymore?
Breakfast, because at one point in my life, McDonald's stopped serving breakfast at 10:30. I drew that as the meridian line. If that was good enough for end breakfast,
so glad I asked.
Then I'm sorry, breakfast ended then. And lunch, in my mind, never really started till noon. So you have an hour and a half to get brunch in. You don't get in after that. You're either having breakfast or you're having lunch. There's no in between.
One of the great underrated moments in DA show history is that Mirage just used the word meridian line.
Is it correct?
Kind of.
Okay.
He drew the meridian line. 10:30. That's got to be when breakfast ends for him.
That's it. I'm sorry. I'm looking around everybody now. Let's go to brunch. Let's have mimosas. It's 3 in the afternoon. You're just drinking at 3 in the afternoon. It's not brunch because you splash some orange juice with some champagne. And the same thing. If I see one more Instagram Friendsgiving pic, enough. You had dinner in November with friends.
Why are you starting to sound like Woody Allen? Stop, you just eating dinner with friends.
Because these things have bothered me enough.
And why is this the thing you care the most about in life right now?
It bothers me because it never ends.
It never ends.
I can't deal with Thanksgiving.
I can't do it anymore.
Had it.
I've had it with all these guys. Stop doing
it's
your Friendsgiving.
Just dinner.
Just dinner.
It's enough.
Mraz, that's Woody Allen.
Just when you thought Woody Allen couldn't get creepier looking.
Come on.
Instead of Sean.
It's Cocky Pops. By the way, how good do those pancakes look that Burger King's pushing out there?
Cents.
That's three thick pieces of delicious golden bread with the butter on top for 89 cents. How are they making any money off that?
I haven't seen those. I think you're talking about the Grinch pancakes at IHOP, which do look delish.
Last night, it was all over the Monday night broadcast. Yeah. It was like every third commercial was the BK pancakes.
We've got 45 minutes to eat them for breakfast, so let's hurry up and find them.
Wow.
Three of them for 89 cents.
That's a good deal.
That's like 30-some-odd cents, not even.
They're probably original, right? They're not sprinkling any chocolate chips in there, are they?
No. They're just flat. They're
cheapskates.
Same even Steven flapjacks, but they look delicious, and they're only...
Flapjacks? What are you, 74 years old?
And they're flapjacks to me, okay?
I can't deal with flapjacks on Friendsgiving.
It's not brunch if you have flapjacks.
Who knew the one impersonation Pete could do is Woody Allen?
It's good. I think it's because it sounds like our bosses.
It does. Can you work Thanksgiving?
You had Friendsgiving anyway, right?
So you're clear, right?
You're free. All right, Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, I'm trashing the mothers that decide to raid the front counter of the deli every Saturday morning.
Okay.
I mean, I understand the lines are going to be long when you're going for a breakfast sandwich in the morning, but I don't need five women, five ladies, five mothers, or five fathers for that matter, raiding the front counter of the deli and holding up the line for about 20 to a half hour.
So you find these to be just parents that are raiding your local deli.
And they have no idea what they want. They have no idea. Oh, can we get a? Do you have buttered bagels? Do you have bagels? I mean, really, just go in there with a little bit of preparation and understand that you have a line going to the boardwalk in my town of people waiting to get a sandwich. I mean, enough. Get them out.
You've been trashed.
So are they ordering for their kids? Is that why you know that they're mothers?
They're ordering for their kids. And the kids are being polite and being patient. But the mothers have no idea what they're doing. They don't know what the kids want. They're not properly prepared. It really just takes up a lot of time.
Is this taking a half an hour?
Yeah. I'm standing there waiting. I just want a bagel. I want one bagel. And I have to deal with, are we going to stay? Are we going to go? What do you guys have? Just be prepared when you're waiting on the line before me. Enough.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
This is the most Pete trash of all time.
Had it.
Just stop wanting breakfast.
Been there for an hour and a half waiting.
I have tears coming down my cheeks.
Enough.
And that's not even what he told me he was going to trash 10 minutes ago.
I had it. Yeah. I'm over it.
I'm over it. All right. Bogues, who are you trashing?
DA leaving here one day last week, got on the train, smelt something nasty, a bathroom smell. Couldn't tell where it was coming from. I wanted to get away from it. Then I realized it was the guy sitting in the seat next to me. I was standing, but he was dressed like a normal person. He was on his iPhone, and he smelt like he had an accident in his pants.
Oh.
So there were women sitting next to him that eventually realized it was him as well because it was a struggle at first. So he didn't look like he would smell.
It was a struggle at first.
They figured out it was him. They got up and moved to the middle of the car. He looked over at them a couple of times, got up, walked over next to them, and started to announce to the train that they moved because he smelled.
No.
And he was insulted and said, times are tough and blah, blah, blah.
What?
But he started this whole thing with him scrolling his iPhone, smelling like urine.
Times are tough,
yeah,
he said?
He's like, I know this, but they got to get up. So my point is, if you know you smell, you got to deal with whatever anybody does to get away from you. If you know it, you got to own it and not be insulted and stand up in the middle of a subway car and try and shame two women from moving because they moved away from you reeking.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
That is such a wild Trash Tuesday.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. When he got up and walked over, I thought he was going to say something to him directly. Instead, he announced to the car that they got up and moved because he smelled. Never said it wasn't me. That I don't smell. Said I smell. I guess he thinks he has reasons to smell like that. That should be respected. But they moved because he reeked, and I would have moved myself. If I wasn't getting off at the next stop.
Times are tough. He said.
Yeah, he said times are tough. As if like it's okay that I smell like I just wet myself.
So he smelled like number one or number two.
Number one, and it was bad. But he didn't look. Like he would, like if you looked at him, you wouldn't go, that's the guy that smells, but it was him. And
he didn't
he
look like smelly
it.
Guy.
No, like a regular person.
Wow.
Yeah. Heavy. It was a lot. Thank God Penn Station rolled up and I could get out of there.
Wow. These are amazing trashes. I am trashing cell phone battery technology. I have a battery that loses approximately 50% of its charge within the first 30 minutes I'm using it. Every single time I look at my phone, it's at 18%. And just when I charge it and get it charged enough just to get it into the green, so it says 20% or more, I feel like this huge weight is lifted off my shoulders. Do you realize that the power that you hold on your cell phone is greater than the computer power that it took to send the first man to the moon in 1969? We actually hold more computer power in our phones than they used to launch rocket ships to the moon. And yet, if you want a secondary battery on your phone, it's got to look like a brick. It's like this huge thing that you got to plug in. You have to carry it around with you. Why can't cell phone batteries just last longer? Why is this a thing where they deteriorate? Somehow technology is making us self-driving cars and commercial exploration of space and supercomputers in our pockets. And yet, Our batteries are like the old cell phones from the 1970s. Please trash it.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
And I know, Mraz, you're always aggravated with me because I'm always low on juice, and I charge it every single day, all the time. And I'm always low. I'm just getting a new phone at this point.
You have to. Every single trip, every single sporting event, it's always you looking for an outlet because, I'm on 2%. It's always 2% too, like you're carrying around a bottle of milk. I mean, geez, just get a new phone already. Enough.
Now he's trying to sound like Woody Allen.
No, I'm not. I don't even know what Woody Allen sounds like.
Enough with the phone.
It's always on 2%. It's a bottle of milk.
I like 1%.
I can't believe that we stumbled on this one part of the Pete personality.
It's great. When we come back here on the show, last night's Monday Night Football game. What was worse, the Monday Night booth or the refs? And we'll get into your trashes as well coming up here next. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.